Welcome to Spark Stories, where entrepreneurs and experts share their brand story and how they found their spark, the spark that started it all.
Hi, welcome to Spark Stories. Today is a good day. We're live in the studio with Mr. Grady Caldwell and Ms. Alicia Igus. And we're here to, they're going to share with us who they are, what they do, and why it matters. And so, hi, Grady. Welcome to Spark Stories.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. How was your weekend?
Great, great. But I like to work, so I like the weekdays a little bit better than the weekends.
Really? That's a first.
I do.
And why is that, Grady?
I'm just one of those people that, you know, over the weekend, I find myself getting a little lazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like more things, I can make more things happen during the week. So I get excited about, you know, making things happen. So the weekdays for me are my, it's go time for me during the weekdays.
Let's go. Alicia, did you do anything exciting?
I had 4 children at my place.
4 kids? What age?
3, 2 5-year-olds and a 10-year-old.
Wow. Were the 5-year-old twins?
No.
No twins, but a lot of energy, right?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm sleep deprived right now.
Sleep deprived. How did you entertain them for the whole weekend?
They colored. We made homemade ice cream. They did water painting. Went to the zoo.
Sounds good. But the weather was good. What, on Saturday?
Only Saturday.
And yeah. It got extremely cold on yesterday. I was surprised when I went out. But welcome to Atlanta with the crazy weather and the crazy traffic, right?
Exactly.
Right. It's supposed to be hot right now.
So really, I haven't been in all morning. Is it hot out now?
No.
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. We can't get it right, can we?
Right.
No.
Well, I don't know. We'll just have to go with the flow. So first up, we're going to talk with Mr. Grady. He's going to tell us, who he is, what he does, and why it matters.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Just to kind of tell you a little bit about who I am. I'm Grady Caldwell. I'm originally from Albany, Georgia, which is a small little city in Southwest Georgia, if you're familiar with the Georgia area. And I attended a historically black college and university called Albany State University on a full basketball scholarship. And I graduated from Albany State with a degree in education. One of the things that I had and one of the passions that I have in my life is to always be able to kind of give back, to be able to kind of help our youth and that kind of thing. So that was one of the reasons why I graduated in education. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is by Muhammad Ali, and it goes something like, "The rent you pay here for your room on earth is the service that you give to others." And I believe wholeheartedly in providing service and giving services to others. So for me, I graduated from Albany State with a degree in education and went out into the education field. I spent, in fact, 17 years in the education field. I've served in every position from a teacher to pretty much a head basketball coach. I was assistant principal and a principal. And in the point where I started to transition out of education, believe it or not, it was one simple conversation that kind of changed the whole trajectory of what I thought my passion and my purpose was. And that conversation took place back in May of 2018. Okay. It was a family conversation. My mom and my dad, they called myself and my sisters together on a Sunday, and they wanted everybody just to kind of get together. So my sisters and I, we wasn't real sure what, you know, we were meeting about. We just thought maybe they wanted to kind of get everybody together for family dinner and that kind of thing. And it turned out we did eat, but it turned out that the conversation turned into my parents kind of talking to us about what their wishes were as they got older.
Wow, and that has to be a tough conversation.
Well, it's tough, but I mean, my family, man, we're a lighthearted family, so we laugh and we joke and that kind of thing. And, you know, when my mom kind of brought it to our attention that she had been diagnosed with early stages of Alzheimer's, it kind of was like one of those things that, boom, you know, it kind of hit me. And I'm being the baby boy of the family. It was just one of those things where I was like, man, how are we going to take care of our mother?
Right.
And the good thing about it was their house is paid off free and clear. So that's great. Obviously, they don't want to do a nursing home type of thing. And so my sisters and I were just like, what are we going to do? How are we going to take care of her? And, you know, my middle sister, she's a deputy CIO of the city of Atlanta. So she's extremely busy. My youngest sister, she's a life coach and she does a lot of speaking or whatnot, speaking engagements. So she's busy also. And my older sister, she's a psychiatrist and she was actually the Georgia Psychiatrist of the Year at the time. So she was super busy as well. And me at the time, I was serving as principal of a high school. So, you know, it was just like, what are we going to do? And we just didn't want any old body coming in trying to take care of my mother as, you know, her condition worsened or whatnot. So I came up with the bright idea of being a problem solver. You know, why don't we start our own home care agency?
Wow. Okay.
And, you know, that way we can hire good people. We know exactly who we're hiring, and be one of those things where we wouldn't, you know, send anybody out to anybody's house that we wouldn't want taking care of our own mother. And when I came up with that idea, my sisters, they all balked. Oh, man, it's going to take a lot to get that up and going. And, you know, me, I'm just one of those type of people that when I kind of put my mind to something and I say I'm going to do it, I go out and do it. So I began researching, you know, what it would take to kind of put this kind of company together. And upon researching, I had to find out I had to submit an actual application to the state and get licensed through the state and that kind of thing. So I started that process in August and of 18, and then we were actually approved in January of 19 with the green light to start moving forward.
So it's kind of like your steps are ordered. So you can have 17 years of experience in education.
Mm-hmm.
You went to a family dinner in May.
Mm-hmm.
You received your diagnosis of your mother having early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
and you put a plan together.
Yeah, exactly.
And it took maybe 6 months or so before this dream started to come to life?
Yeah, it took about 6 months. And, you know, whenever you're dealing with the state, you know, you got to have all your I's dotted and T's crossed. So we had to go in and, you know, make sure we had everything exactly the way the state wanted it. But it was a pretty smooth process once we got the ball rolling, and just excited about really opening and getting started in 2019.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Grady, would you say that you had an entrepreneurial bug before? And this just kind of ignited it more, because most people would probably have researched the diagnosis first and tried to come up with alternatives for care versus starting a business.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that. I've always been a component of just love the idea of having multiple income streams. I've always been that way. Even when I was in education, I've always dipped and dabbled in other opportunity streams, from investments to, you know, stocks and that kind of thing as well. Even back in 2010, I started another company, which was a commercial finance brokerage firm. That firm is still up and alive today as well. Basically, that company, we broker out commercial finance deals, especially on the heavy equipment side and that kind of thing, nationwide. So that company is still going. In fact, a lot of the income stream from that company helped to fuel the start the process with Perennial Angels.
If you had to share, you said that you had multiple other investment opportunities to help kind of finance your new venture. How important is that for startup businesses to have a nest egg or a monies to invest back into the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extremely important. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, people think you can just walk into a bank and say, look, give me some money, I got this business. And it just doesn't work like that, because, as a commercial finance brokerage firm, you know, I was kind of the middleman between the actual finance company and the actual business owner. And I had to explain to them a lot of times that, hey, at the end of the day, lenders are going to want to see that you got some skin in the game yourself. And for me, I think it's extremely important. I think lenders take you much more seriously when you bring your own skin in the game. They see that you're here to stay. You got to, you know, a nice investment into your own business, into your own self. So, yeah, it's extremely important.
All right. So, yeah, got to have some of that startup capital. So now let's fast forward again. You said you opened your doors when?
Well, we actually opened the doors February 1st. We got our license in January, opened our doors on February 1st, and we're excited. We started taking on clients. Right now, we took on our first client actually in February, and we've actually grown to about 6 clients right now, and looking to grow at a steady pace. We have some goals, some large goals, actually. In 3 years, we want to be to where we're serving 250 clients.
Wow.
In 3 years. The first year in business, we want to be where we're averaging about 8 clients a month.
Okay.
And kind of keep it growing from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that your mother, and you're from the Southwest Georgia area. Now, is that your service area, or are you going to do the entire state?
No, we're pretty much the entire metro Atlanta area. Our office is located at 3350 Riverwood Parkway, Suite 1900. That's over in the Cumberland area,
okay.
Right down the street from the Cumberland Mall, if you're familiar with Atlanta. But we serve 10 metro Atlanta counties.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 10 metro Atlanta counties. And your you're here servicing this area. Now, what type of, I mean, how can we help you get the word out? Are you looking for more clients? Or are you looking for caretakers?
We're looking for a combination of both. Obviously, clients bring in income, but at the end of the day, I tell my caregivers now that you guys are where the rubber meets the road. If we can't have good caregivers, then we can't have a successful business. And I'm the type of person that, you know, if we can't provide quality service, then I don't want to be in business at all. So we communicate that message real strong to our caregivers. I want to be known as the Chick-fil-A home care. Okay.
It's your pleasure.
Right. You know, I've never had a bad experience at Chick-fil-A, and I'm pubbing Chick-fil-A right now. But at the end of the day, we want to be the Chick-fil-A of home care as it relates to service, as it relates to quality, as it relates to experience for our clients. And I think if we can, you know, focus on really providing that quality service, then we won't have a problem reaching our goals as it relates to growth.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you did bring up Chick-fil-A. They did definitely have a model for great customer service.
Right.
And so that can roll over into any industry to making sure that you do provide the things that you support and that you stand by, making sure that you have a strong brand and offering that quality care. So how are you going to ensure that in comparison to?
Well, at the end of the day, all of our caregivers, they have annual and monthly evaluations as well. So we have supervisory nurses and RNs that are in position to be able to go out there in the field with the actual caregiver to make sure that they're doing what they know they're supposed to be doing. So we have some quality control on the back end to make sure that we're putting out a good quality customer service and at a cost that I think is fair for our industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I needed to bring someone in, how do we get started with your services?
Well, basically, when you're dealing with elderly people, a lot of times elderly people are discharged from hospitals. A lot of times, you know, they are discharged or are put into maybe assisted living type facilities. But a lot of times they're assigned a social worker.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes our social workers are great referral sources for our company because they're able to refer those clients out to us and say, look, this customer or this client, this patient needs this, 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 and they need it for this long. They need it 5 days a week for 6 hours. Can you provide that service for them? And in most cases, we have, and we will continue to be able to provide that quality service. So if you're looking, I think there's an old cliche that says something like, you know, if you could fish with a fishing pole or fish with a net, which one would you rather do? For us in the home care agency industry, I'd rather fish with a net.
Right.
And the best way to do that is to reach out to your social workers who are in direct contact with these with our potential clients on a daily basis. So they're able to send us clients and refer us over clients as well.
Okay. So you're going to work directly with the state to kind of find as a referral base, or do you take private pay?
Yeah, right now we're currently all 100% private pay. The state has some procedures in place that you have to be in business and permanently licensed for a certain amount of time before you're able to start taking on some of those Medicaid waiver programs and things like that. So right now we're 100% private pay, which is good. But in the future, we'll be moving on to take on the Medicaid waiver program. Some of the popular ones like the CCSP and the SOURCE programs are two of those big popular ones that we'd be able to take on as well.
Okay. Now, I'm not familiar with CSSP.
CCSP.
You
know, it's acronyms, Community Client Service Program or something like that. But it's just one of those programs where it deals with lower income elderly people who may can't afford a private pay type situation, and they're provided funds in which the state says, look, they qualify for a certain amount of hours per week, and you're able to provide that service for them as a home care agency.
Now, does your agency, are they going to offer any type of educational classes that are geared around maybe your cause or your why, dementia or Alzheimer's?
It is exactly. That's, you know, coming from an educational background, I strongly believe in educating our clients and our customer base about what we are and what they may need. So we have quite a few pieces of literature out that we can always pass out. We'll be looking to do health fairs in the future. We'll be looking to communicate with our local churches and put on presentations for them as well. So we're always looking to educate and look for opportunities in which we can go in and speak about what we do and also speak about some of the issues that the elderly deal with. And a lot of times we're not necessarily talking to the actual elderly client. We're talking to that patient's oldest child or that patient's child that's 45 or 50 years old that's trying to figure out a way that they can get help for their parents as they get older. We just had a call earlier today from a gentleman that needed some help for his 94-year-old mom that we had to really educate on, you know, what types of services were available for his mom and, you know, what we could provide and kind of go from there. So we're constantly educating and making sure that they know their options.
So this is coming to your agency as a starting point.
Yeah, I mean, coming to our agency is a starting point. Whether you decide to go with us or not, we want to always make sure that we're giving you the correct information that you need. You know, in the Atlanta market, it's a very competitive market as it relates to in-home care. So again, you know, we just want to be known as the expert, the go-to company as it relates to being able to provide good information and make you and let you make a decision based on what you think best fits your needs.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Grady, thank you so much for sharing with us who you are, what you do, and why it matters. And how can we find you on the location and on the web?
Right. Again, our address, local address, is 3350 Riverwood Parkway, Suite 1900, Atlanta, Georgia. That's in the Cumberland area. But in the home care industry, very rarely do people visit your office. But we're there if you want to visit us, obviously. But it's a personal home type experience. And a lot of times we find ourselves spending evenings in the homes of our clients, getting to know them, getting to know what their needs are. But you can also reach us by phone at 470-399-8105. That's 470-399-8105. Or you can visit us on the internet at www.perennialangels.com. That's PERENNIAL. Angels.com. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Perennial Angels. We're there. If you look for us, you'll be able to find us without any problems.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing more about you and best wishes.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Miss Alicia. Alicia, tell us who you are, what you do, and why it matters.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm Alicia Igas. I'm a hairstylist and makeup artist by trade. I focus on makeovers in my studio, which is Urban Tangles. And why it matters, I get to share with my clients, my customers, what I do, make them feel better on the outside, which ultimately makes them feel better on the inside. But I also have a component where I got Untangle University trademarked. And so the best part is that I get to share with other beauty professionals how I have been in this industry for 18 years in this city. And that's mainly it.
All right. So you've been in business for 18 years.
Yes.
Here exclusively in Atlanta?
Exclusively in Atlanta.
So over that course of 18 years, I know you've done some great things and you've been recognized by some of the top beauty agencies and awarded. Could you tell us something about those awards?
Yes. Most recent last year, Modern Luxury, Jezebel Magazine. I was voted in as the best of Atlanta for hair coloring. The same thing happened the year before. The year before that, it was the Atlanta magazine under Modern Luxuries brand. Atlanta Tribune, Best Salon. It was three. I was number two. And I got Best of Atlanta for hair extensions the year before that.
Sounds good. So that 18 years of experience, you sound like you're the industry expert, the go-to person. So tell us, how did you even get started 18 years ago to now? What is your passion about the beauty industry?
I actually grew up in a hair salon. My grandmother was a hairdresser. My sister, you could call her my aunt, but she was more like a family friend that worked with my grandmother. And I just took to her. So I'm a natural.
You're natural.
Yeah, it was in me, and I just spent years as a child literally in the salon with them. I could go to work with them and leave. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was like 11, I was finger waving for $5.
You know, started young, right?
Yeah. And from there, I went on to junior high, high school, college, and still doing hair, but I was illegal.
Oh, illegal. It's important. I know you're legal now.
Yes.
So tell people how important it is to have that legal foundation of in the industry.
Well, every state is different, but there isn't a state in the United States that you can operate or work on people without a license. So I did it for years. But the importance is that the organizations, Georgia State Board of Cosmetology and Barbering, they are there to monitor and protect consumers that may come to us. And so we have to be licensed. And then you get the formal training, too, because I worked for years without any real formal training. And once you go and get that training, whether it's through an apprenticeship under someone like myself that's licensed, mm-hmm. or in school, it makes a difference. Like, it just kind of solidifies that you are serious about it. You're not just like out there being a kitchen magician.
And that's so funny. The kitchen magician, that stylist that does, you know, make that choice to do hair in their home. And it just, again, it gives you a bigger or larger opportunity to be a professional if you do take those necessary steps to make sure you have the licenses in place to go out and practice in the field.
Right.
So, yes, I think that's very important to kind of reiterate the importance of having your licenses in place.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you started doing hair high school, college. Now, did you go directly into a 4-year institution or did you go to technical school?
I went to Tennessee State University.
All right.
And got a Bachelor of Science there. I was running from doing hair. I always thought that it was just something I did on the side. So I never pursued the licensing part of it. Graduated from Tennessee State, and it was my grandmother who, like I said, was a hairstylist that asked me what would I do if I could work for free. And for me, it was doing hair. So I immediately went to hair school at a community college after I got my bachelor's.
So you kind of did the reverse.
I did. And it's honestly what I would recommend to this day, because college was what I would say was my breeding ground to grow up, mm-hmm. instead of just going straight to hair school. But some people can handle it. I needed to have that foundation, especially to attract the kind of clients that I currently service.
Okay. Now, what type of client are you servicing?
I have professionals that have degrees. Most of my client base stem from people that I've gone to college with. So they are going to be definitely educated, you know. They may have professional degrees like dentists, doctors, lawyers, you know, Indian chiefs.
Indian. That's fun. That's very interesting. Very niche. Now, we talked about a little bit. We started off with you talking about the awards that you've received. And do you think that you being going after that certain demographic and target market established you in those areas besides your talent?
Definitely. Okay. And my training ground obviously was college, because I have that in common with most, with the way I style, the way I do the hair, the makeup or whatnot. So I would say that, yes.
That definitely played a role into it. Now, you also mentioned that you have Urban Tangles University. And is that geared towards for your client, or is that geared towards more just other industry experts?
It's Untangle University, and it's twofold. So it is for the everyday salon client, where we educate them, have events around educating them on how they can keep their hair and makeup up outside of the salon. But it's also geared towards beauty professionals, where we give back and offer advanced education around skill level as well as best business practices in our industry. So it's for both.
It's for both.
Yeah.
Do you have anything coming up anytime soon?
I do. On Monday, April 29th, I have a mastermind that is going to be geared towards beauty professionals. And that's what I'm doing now. And at the end of the year, I'm going to plan a conference around that. But each summer, I always do something for my clients. Last year, we did a headshot party so that they could have professional headshots. And we offered a makeup class called Brunching with Brushes. So we're going to do both of those events again in between now and the end of the year.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, if we're looking to find you, where do you hang out on the web?
Well, I'm under my first and last name on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, which is Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A, Igess, I-G-E-S-S. And I have a scheduler for people that want to come and see me, which is Vagaro.com/Alicia Igess. And that's Vagaro with a V.
Vagaro with a V. Sounds good. Alicia, you kind of mentioned this, basically like you're starting out and it was your passion. You kind of grew up in the industry. What pieces of advice would you give a up and coming, stylist?
The most important piece of advice I was given that I would pass on is to do what you would do for free. And through my experience going to school, getting all the training, staying on top of the trends, education, make sure you do that. It's like once you are out there, you want to stay relevant and do what's necessary. So obviously, I guess my advice would be to just get started with what you love. Stay focused by getting educated and staying abreast of what's going on, because science and technology has really, really influenced our industry. And to stay serious about it. It is a real career.
It is a real career. That's very good. And I guess bringing both of you, Grady and Alicia, back into the conversation of sharing, again, those pieces of advice of entrepreneurship and, you know, starting out. Alicia, you've been in the industry 18 years. Grady, you're coming in with 17 years of educational experience and now transitioning into the world of entrepreneurship. What are some of those things that just kind of keeps you going other than the passion?
For me, I get sick if I'm not working. Like, literally, I prefer to do it. It brings me joy. It's my social hour. Mm-hmm. So doing what you know you really love is important. And what keeps me going is that I love it. I get to do it. It doesn't feel like work. And for days when I'm like wanting to do more, which is how Untangle University came about, I know how to meditate, get to myself, and really, really connect so that I can stay grounded and centered around what's important to me.
Mm-hmm. Doing what's important. What about for you, Grady?
For me, it's all about mindset. I think that you just got to have the right mindset to go out there and do it. A lot of people, you know, just... You have to really protect what's going into your head, especially when you're going the entrepreneurship route. You have to, you know, have, you know, just unlimited faith, unlimited belief in yourself. And, you know, one of the things that you really can't do is you can't have what I like to call paralysis of analysis. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people just think themselves out of an opportunity. You just got to go do it and realize that, you know, it's going to be some opportunities for you to fail. But I mean, you're going to also fail forward. And each one of those opportunities are going to be an opportunity for you to grow and learn from. You know, I'm pretty sure as I go through this home care agency journey that there are going to be some times where I want to go back and say, look, man, I maybe should have done it this way or maybe should have done it that way. But the bottom line I got to remind myself is that I'm doing it. And, you know, I think that's a real big part of being an entrepreneur and, you know, growing you who you are and growing your brand.
That's really important, too. And I think from earlier in your conversation, you said when you brought this idea to your family, your sister said, wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's not cut from the same cloth. You know, I think my sisters are great in their own ways and they got a lot of good things going on. But as it relates to just, you know, stepping out there and just doing something You know, everybody's not necessarily built the same, but they support me 100%.
Right. And, I get the point I think I'm making is how important it is to surround yourself with people who believe in your vision, and as well as solopreneurs, it can be isolating. So that having that team around you.
I think that's very important. You got to definitely operate around people that are in the same, you know, atmosphere as you are in terms of how you're thinking and that kind of thing. So if you got a mastermind group, is what I like to call it, people that are maybe going through some of the same things that you're going through, that you can kind of have an accountability type relationship with, I think that's great, because it's going to help you reach your goals a lot faster. And it's good to have that support. You know, even if it's coming from friends, if it's coming from families, one of the things Alicia said was that, you know, she building really upon her network from college. And I find myself doing the same thing as it relates to some of the things that I'm doing. So, you know, as you build that network, just, you know, making sure you treat people right and do what you say you're going to do. And you'll find yourself, I think, on the winning side of where you're trying to go.
All right. What about you, for Alicia? Who's on your team?
My team consists of what I need for business, and that makes me feel confident in my delivery and outside of my studio. So my team consists of, obviously, I come from a big family, and I have my sisters. They're like my friends. So that's my prayer group. They root me on even when it's like, I don't know about that. But the team that makes me feel really, really confident that I talk to weekly is my attorney, an accountant, the bookkeeper, because I talk to her more than the accountant. And I have to talk to my insurance agency here lately because I'm looking at another space and having to prepare for that. But right now, that is like my core team for business, and I would make a move without them. It's like, that's just part of it. You know, it makes me feel confident that I've done my due diligence to get the people necessary to stay in business and like do things right, you know.
Right. Sustainability is so important. I think a lot of things that I see with entrepreneurs, they have these grand ideas, but they don't put the team in place in order for them to sustain, or they don't have the ideas to be scalable. And you're passionate about, you know, this is a home in home care services, but you kind of become limited in saying, you know, I just want to do this, but there's so many other avenues that you can take. And I think partnership and collaboration and having and surrounding yourself with team kind of gets you to be able to expand and then expand and scale at the same time. So
I like the expansion part. I know one of the things that we're going to be adding to the home care agency in the next year or so would be the non-emergency transportation as well, because it just fits in with what we're currently doing and the clientele that we serve. So that'll be something that we'll be adding to, in addition to what we're doing inside in terms of the in-home care services, is the non-emergency, you know, transportation with the vans, with the lifts and that kind of thing that the elderly need.
All right. That's really, like I said, scalability. Mm-hmm. Got to be able to scale. Well, again, I just really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us who you are, what you do, and why it matters. You both have great causes and great whys. And I think any business you have to have start with purpose, and you have to start with a great why. So again, thank you for coming on and sharing with our listeners about your businesses, and then giving them those little nuggets to push them along the way.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right.
Perfect. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Spark Stories. If you're looking for more help in gaining focus, come check out our website, where you can find episode show notes, browse our archives, and access free resources like worksheets, trainings, events, and more. It's all at www.shesparks.com.